If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
And who would ever thought I'd be in this position to where I'm looking to transition out in 4 or 5 years of practice to do real estate full time. So it's a really cool adventure. And, you know, I tell people all the time, especially my kids, you know, follow your dreams, you know, you never know what can happen.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Dr. Jeff Anzalone is a full-time practicing periodontist in the great state of Louisiana, author and founder of DebtFreeDoctor.com. His focus is on helping doctors and other high-income professionals create passive income from real estate so that they can stop trading their time for money. Jeff, welcome to the show.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, man, this is great. This is great. Always good to interview a fellow Southerner. Where are you based out of?
I'm based out of Northeast Louisiana, close to the Arkansas border. So got a little redneck in me.
Hey, man, that's all right. That's all right. That's our kind of people. So always happy to interview a fellow Southerner. If you can, the same questions I ask everybody who comes on the show is, where'd you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
It all started, I guess, by accident. About 5 years ago, my wife and I were skiing up in Beaver Creek, and I got off the ski lift, kid cut in front of me. I swerved, and, you know, luckily I avoided colliding with them, but I fell on my wrist. And as a periodontist, I kind of need my wrist and my hands to treat patients. And I guess you never think about getting sick or cancer or injured until you're sick or injured. And I started thinking, okay, well, my wife doesn't, you know, work full time. She's part time. I'm the sole provider, basically. What would happen if I can't work? Because, you know, all of our income coming in is tied into my active income. And that, I think, just started the process at that point that, hey, I need to go start searching for maybe something else to, you know, sort of a, I guess, emergency type fund or emergency income coming in case daddy can't treat patients anymore. So that's where I started. Didn't know anything about passive income or whatever, but as I started researching, I noticed that roughly about 90% of the wealthy people, the millionaires, had anywhere from 3 to 9 additional streams of income, which at that time I only had one. And the majority of them had gained their wealth through real estate. Didn't know anything about real estate, except I'd only purchased my home at that point. So that led me to start learning myself, reading books, going to conventions. But I thought you had to be a landlord. That was the only type of real estate that I knew about. And after meeting with several friends in my area that manage a lot of real estate, either themselves or for their parents, as you know, it's a lot of work. And I think it's real important to set goals, because our goals told us that, Jeff, you can't be an active user investor, because I wanted more time to spend with the kids, you know, while they're still living with us before they move out for college. And I didn't want another job. I want to be a landlord. Luckily, I found out that there were some other options, such as passive real estate options like syndications, and the rest is history.
What was the first thing that you invested in?
At that time, the crowdfunding started to get big, and I did a couple of little debt deals on a couple of websites, patchofland.com, and at the time, realtyshares.com. They worked out pretty well. And then I decided to go big and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to do an equity deal at realtyshares.com. It was a apartment complex in Oklahoma. Long story short, every investor lost all their money, $50,000 minimum. So how's that for a good start?
Wow. How big was the equity raise on that? Like, what was the total amount of money that was lost?
I'm really not sure, but I think it was maybe 8 to 10 million.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
How many years ago was this?
This is when I first got started, about 4 or 5 years ago.
Wow. I don't want to spend too much time here, but I'm really curious how especially in the meteoric rise of multifamily that we've seen in the last 5 years, like what caused that deal to go south?
Number one, it was my fault because I wasn't educated enough to figure out that I didn't know who I was working with. You know, on these online platforms, you don't get to know the sponsor or you don't get to know them real well. And that was number one. Number two, and then this is all was learned after the fact, that the area was crime infested. More people were moving out than moving in. The builder dumped a lot of money in this project. And just, again, there was just so many people moving out that lost all the money, and he just had to close up, and everybody, pretty much missed out.
Wow. So he just folded up the project and said, you know what, we're going to stop the bleeding, and then walked away.
Yeah. And I actually wrote an article about it on my blog, and I actually had a guy reach out to me, I think from New York, that read that he was also lost his money, and he was trying to put together some sort of lawsuit, but I mean, it is what it is. There's not a whole lot you can do. So that really made me push the pause button, as you can imagine, on investing.
Sure.
And I don't think I invested again until maybe a year and a half later, very cautiously. And then I started investing with some different groups that I got to know personally. And, you know, knock on wood, so far so good, that has worked out. And again, I just kind of share my experiences, very open about it on my blog, and anything that I think people should know, you know, as I'm learning about cap rates or whatever, you know, I'll put that out there too, because, you know, people are busy, and, you know, a lot of them either don't have time or don't really want to fool with learning about all this. They kind of want to just go somewhere, and kind of like if you go to Amazon and you want to buy a pair of hiking boots or something, who has time to research 2,000 pair of boots? What are you going to do? You're going to go and say, well, what are most people buying and what are they saying about it? Okay, I'll buy that.
Right.
So I kind of wanted to be that trusted resource out there for the doctor community and other high income earners. And I'm really enjoying it.
Right. No, that's great. That's great. And I think that's one of the kind of key principles that we stress over and over is know your operator. Not just your operator, excuse me, but know your sponsor. Know who you're investing with on a personal level. And I know that's even for us, it's we have both active and passive investments. And I can tell you, I have the cell phone number of every single one of the people I've invested with, because I can call, and even if they got 20 people working for them, I can call them directly and say, hey, what's happening here? And I think that's important. And that's the layer that I think maybe you can speak to this, but I think that's the layer you lose on those larger crowdfunding platforms. No?
Yeah. And everybody that I invest with, I know where they live. Not that I'm going to go and do anything, but it's nice to know. I know them personally. I have their cell number and I know where they live. So if there's ever an issue, we can hash it out. But you're right, with these online platforms, you're putting your trust in them, and they tell you, hey, we get, you know, thousands of deals that come to our platform a year, and we're only putting out the best ones. Well, I know for a fact that's not true, because I know people that these platforms have approached, their sponsors, and there's no vetting, there's no due diligence. They're like, hey, you want to put it, you have any deals you can put on our platform? So,
right.
And I'm not saying all these are bad at all. I'm just saying now, you know, kind of like when you're in the kitchen and you burn your hand on the stove, you don't put your hand on the stove anymore. So I'm out of the online, you know, investing game.
Right, right. Understood. So, you know, and good for you for seeing at least, you know, not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, because there are a lot of excellent sponsors out there, and it's finding those excellent sponsors to work with, I think, that that makes or breaks obviously what you're doing. So your next investment, how did you overcome that not put your hand on the stove again fear, and you know, take the next leap?
Like I mentioned, after I'd done a lot of education for about a year and a half, going to meetings, meeting people, meeting sponsors, meeting other investors that have invested with these sponsors, then I decided to take the leap of faith, you know, slowly but surely to invest and then see what happened. Mm-hmm. And that worked out pretty good. And then I did another one, and then that worked out pretty well. And then slowly but surely started to build a little more trust with these people.
Gotcha. So at this point, what's your business look like today?
It's kind of telling you before we got on here, it's pretty crazy how, you know, I'm a believer and it's just, you know, I think God has a plan for everybody and I'm just following the plan, because who would have thought that, you know, going through the training that I was going to would lead me here. Maybe I went to, you know, dental school and a residency so I can connect with other people. You know, I had a call with an endodontist this morning and, he just said, look, I feel comfortable talking to another dental specialist. You're not selling me anything, versus, you know, Joe Schmo calling me up wanting to sell me some sort of, you know, hey, get in this project with me. So I think there's a lot of trust that we're able to build, you know, like attracts like. Mm-hmm. And who would ever thought I'd be in this position to where I'm looking to transition out in 4 or 5 years of practice to do real estate full time. So it's a really cool adventure. And, you know, I tell people all the time, especially my kids, you know, follow your dreams, you know, you never know what can happen.
Right, right. No, that's absolutely fascinating. Yeah, you're right. You spent a lot of time and a lot of money going to school, and then to be thinking, gosh, here, in 4 or 5 years, I could be stepping out of this into something else entirely. It's got to be a really, especially something as specialized as what you're doing. And for guys like me, like, you know, transition as well, it's what we do. We invest in this, we do this, you know, it's you kind of build it as you fly it sort of thing. But for you, you had a very precise path in front of you. And then you might change that. Are you doing a fund now? Are you bringing on other investors who are investing with you, and then you're investing in those other deals? Or are you just providing free advice to people? And, you know, that's, how does that work for you?
Well, for the first 2 years of the blog, I was just providing free advice. And then I was approached by a group last year, Nepali Capital, that was started by an ER doctor, Tom Black, and his brother, Tim, that was the CFO of all the Great Wolf Lodges and Six Flags. Pretty smart guy.
Right.
So those two guys, plus one other person, they formed the company. They reached out to me last year, really liked the education I was putting out on the blog and just wanted to connect. And long story short, I've been meeting with them the past year, 2020 during the pandemic, quarterly meetings, and wound up investing with them in a deal in Savannah in September. And then they asked me to come on board and partner with them. So now I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, providing education. And then any project that I invest in personally, I just email it out to my list and why I'm doing it. And if people want to invest in it alongside me, they can. And, that's probably what I'm going to be transitioning out, you know, more to full-time work with them for investor relations and education, because that's what I like to do.
Right. No, that's great. That's great. So we heard about the super painful kind of beginning of this. What are some things you feel like you've done right along the way that you would say other people could emulate?
I would say probably the main thing is there's, being from the South, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And, you know, we're always taught you've got to work till you're 65 or 70, put your money in a 401k, and that's it.
Right.
That is a way, and that's certainly a viable option, but it's not the only way. And once you start realizing, you start building these extra streams of income early on in your career, that gives you a whole lot more options, and you have to have a lot less money invested to if you want to retire or part-time retire or whatever. So, you know, the goal I teach people is just replace your monthly expenses with passive income, and then you're financially independent. It's not tough. You know, if it's $120,000 a year, that's $10,000 a month. Well, figure out what you need and work backwards. You know, you don't need the 10, 12 or 15 million saved up that these financial advisors, you know, tell you, because now you get out of training, you're $300,000-$400,000 in debt, and your income is going to keep going down. I I mean, look, the government's just going to keep cutting us. So trying to save up that amount of money is very tough. So I just like giving people other options, and you know, they can choose what's best for them. It's called personal finance for a reason. It's personal.
Right. Yeah. That's obviously a different way of saying, you know, the, you know, building passive income, but that really breaks it down to something simple, which is not just income replacement, but it also puts that different twist on it where it's like, hey, you don't have to save up, like you said, 15, 10 million, whatever it is that your retirement number is. Like you can free yourself now in a much faster fashion by developing passive income. So that's really cool.
And don't forget about the great tax benefits, because we're hammered with taxes. And man, if you could get some of the depreciation in different ways, that to me, that's the most attractive part of it. Yeah, the passive income is great, but the tax advantages are as well.
Right. And that's a whole different discussion, but that's something that's often overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
Often overlooked. And that's fascinating. Jeff, let's jump in here to the final four. What is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
I would say as soon as you can, as early as you can in your career, start educating yourself about the benefits of passive income and start on your path at that time as quick as possible.
That's awesome. What is one thing you are doing to invest in yourself?
I'm a very avid reader. So I read 5 to 6 books a month. So I listen to a lot of podcasts. I think that's one of the main problems with people, especially doctors. They work for so long in education and they get out and they're like, okay, well, I don't have to study anymore, but that's just the beginning.
That's great. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing to make the world a better place?
As a Christian person, I help teach that, you know, Christian-based principles in my blog. I have lost a lot of people, a lot of subscribers for it, but I've also gained a lot too. So that's just a part of it. And you don't have to be a believer to read the articles, but hopefully it'll change somebody. And if I can just change one person, then that's great for me.
Right. No, that's great. That's great. I love that. If the listeners want to get in touch with you, how do we do that?
Two ways. The blog, debtfreedr.com. And I've got a free passive income guide. If anybody wants to download it, it's debtfreedr.com/free guide. Or they can email me, Jeff, J-E-F-F, at debtfreedr.com.
Jeff, thanks so much for your time today. Certainly appreciate it. This was great.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.